This is Joanna Schrader reporting for Domestic Fuel, and I am with Brian Jennings, the Executive Director of the America Coalition for Ethanol. I'm Brian, how are you?
I'm great, Joanna. Good to see you.
So, Brian, you just got back from Washington, D.C. You're heading back out to Washington, D.C. Your fly-in, which it couldn't come at a better time here, to take a group out to really... You know, we're fighting for a lot of issues here on behalf of the ethanol industry. There's been amendments to try to block the EPA's ability to move forward with E15. There's been amendments thrown out to try to block infrastructure development for ethanol moving forward, you know, amongst some other things. So let's talk a little bit. Can you preview for us a little bit, Brian, about what you're going to be doing during your fly-in next week?
Sure, I'm happy to. Our fly-in takes place on March 29th and 30th in Washington, as you indicated. We currently have over 50 ACE members and ethanol industry supporters from about 15 different states signed up to participate. We probably have room for a few more, up to about 70 in terms of what our meeting space will provide. But we already have meetings set up with over 100 congressional offices. And we intend to play a little bit of offense and a little bit of defense while in Washington, and maybe that's appropriate given that it's March Madness and the basketball tournament has begun. You know, when it comes to offense, we're clearly going to be placing a lot of priority and emphasis on the need for consumer fuel choice and for policies in Washington that relate to ethanol to deploy more flexible fuel vehicles and more blender pumps. Consumer choice pumps, and so motorists have the opportunity and the freedom, if you will, to use these higher blends of ethanol, because today we simply do not have the critical mass of that infrastructure that we need. And so that's going to be the primary emphasis of our effort. We're also going to be talking about some ideas, and we can't probably go into the details right now, but some of the ideas that we have for reforming the ethanol tax incentives going forward. As you know, we got a one-year extension of the blender's credit at 45 cents a gallon at the end of 2010, and the industry understands that that's the last extension of VTEC we will ever receive. And if we want any sort of economic incentive to remain in place, Joanna, until we get to that critical mass of FFEs and blender pumps, we're going to have to significantly reduce the taxpayer cost of that tax incentive and determine other reforms that, you know, better focus it on where it needs to go. And then you mentioned this, but defensively, we've got to defend the industry against some bad votes, frankly, mm-hmm. that were adopted in the House of Representatives. You had an amendment that was adopted, proposed by Congressman Flake of Arizona, that would prevent the United States Department of Agriculture from helping install blender pumps. And that's a problem because later this month, USDA is going to announce a grant and loan guarantee program designed to help install blender pumps. And then a congressman of Oklahoma, Sullivan is his name, proposed an amendment which was adopted in the House that would restrict EPA from moving forward to implement the E15 decision. And those two amendments received strong bipartisan support in the House. Now, they're going nowhere likely in the Senate, but when we meet with the members of the House that we will during the fly-in, a lot of the emphasis is going to be on setting the record straight regarding the E15 waiver process and all of the science that was used to justify the waiver, and educating members of Congress about why a consumer fuel pump, fuel choice pump like a blender pump makes sense. And so we'll be playing defense on that and playing defense on the VTEC repeal legislation that's been introduced as well.
So, Brian, one of the things I'm struggling with is, and to me this seems like a very common sense issue, so we're in a situation where we have a lot of unrest in the Mideast. We have oil prices hovering at $100 a barrel for the second time in 3 years. Gas prices had tipped the $4 a gallon in California and elsewhere in the country, and more than likely we're never going to see $3 a gallon gas again in this country unless we have more ethanol and biodiesel in our fuel. And we're still in a recession, and you and I both understand that when we're dependent on foreign sources of fuel, we are not going to be able to get out of, it could put us back into a recession. So why is it that when we understand this, we have a Congress and a Senate who is potentially prepared to pass legislation that would keep our country from moving forward with a policy that would support renewable fuels and ultimately help our economy and help our energy situation.
Well, that you've said it exactly right. And I think the disconnect between where we are and certain members of Congress has been created by the multi-million dollar, PR attack campaign that has been launched by a wide variety of forces that are threatened by ethanol. Not just the traditional interests that don't want to see ethanol grow, meaning the oil industry that has the biggest checkbook in Washington, D.C. when it comes to doing this type of thing, but also, the food makers and sadly some livestock interests that feel like they're entitled to cheap corn forever. And these interests have been joined, by environmentalists who feel like ethanol is not perfect enough to replace gasoline, and so they've jumped on the bandwagon. And I think the primary answer to your question, in my opinion, is that disconnect between what we understand the value and the role and the benefits of ethanol to be and the perception that's been created about ethanol by our opponents. They've unfortunately done a good job of defining us, and we've got to sort of take that message back. And that will certainly be part of what we try to do in Washington as well. You laid it out. You articulated it even better than I could. The economy is fragile, unrest in the Middle East, oil prices on the rise, gas prices have risen by 30 or 40 cents a gallon for many Americans. And we have an alternative that adds to the fuel supply, that reduces pump prices. Right now, the price difference between ethanol and gasoline is very significant. Mm-hmm. If the blenders are passing the value of the credit and the value proposition that ethanol presents to them onto the consumer, consumers are saving anywhere between 10 and it could be upwards of 50 cents a gallon on ethanol today. And so our industry simply has to do a much more effective job of conveying those benefits, Joanna, and that's part of what we will want to focus on during our fly-in in Washington as well.
And do you feel, Brian, I sort of feel that when you take an average person like that you're doing at the fly-in and these American citizens, these people who are at the gas pump every day are talking to our congressional leaders, do you feel that they maybe are in a better position to deliver this message than maybe even you are and some of our other constituents in D.C. have been? Is it about time that consumers really start to take a more active role in delivering this message?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I think it's an excellent question, and I strongly agree with the premise. As someone who has worked on Capitol Hill for a United States senator and done dozens, frankly hundreds of meetings with lobbyists and various groups, I can tell you that a real live constituent from a senator's state or a member of Congress's legislative district can make such a more compelling and persuasive case to a member of Congress than a paid lobbyist can. And nothing against paid lobbyists. I mean, I am, after all, a paid lobbyist for the ethanol industry, and I'm very proud of that. But there's something that a farmer from, Cresco, Iowa, who's an investor in an ethanol plant and feeds cattle and raises hogs and, works with the land for a living, there's something that someone in that place can convey and persuade in terms of talking to a member of Congress that I cannot. And that's precisely why we sponsor the fly-in, Joanna, and we're delighted that we have this is going to be record attendance for us in terms of people flying in, and that's what really moves the needle in Washington. And so, yeah, we're delighted with the opportunity to do this. Frankly, we need the boots on the ground because our opponents are united and they are working the halls of Congress as we speak, and so we have to do our job to define and promote ourselves, and that's what this fly-in is intended to do.